Good morning. You are listening to The Beacon. Last Saturday of January to all y'all. We were just talking about how this month has flown by.
Yes.
Hard to believe. Next week is already February. I'm Lainey Kleeman, and I'm here, as always, with my friend and co-host.
Brian Hawkins.
Yes, you are.
Yeah,
we were just looking at our suites for sites and realizing that this is the last Saturday before February, and it just all comes tumbling down into a great big shock. But
yes.
Anyway, how are you?
Sweets for sights.
Sweets for sights.
I am fine. I am great. This is a great Saturday, weather-wise at least, to end on having the last show of the month for January. Or as they say in France, janvier.
Janvier. Yes, they do. Look at you. We're very impressive with our français. Yes, it has been a lovely week weather-wise, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Not so bad.
Well,
I actually put my winter jacket. I didn't put it away, but I hung it up on the coat rack and didn't bring it with me a couple days this week. So that's something.
Yeah.
It's something.
I was impressed. You came in just with fleece wear on today.
And it's not even fleece wear. It's just like, it's just thin and it's comfortable. Like I was outside and it was fine. So it's not going to last, I'm sure, but it's okay. We're getting there.
Yeah.
You know how I feel about complaining about winter in February. Like, it is what it is. We're in Chicago. It's wintertime. It's going to happen.
That's right. So how's your week been?
It's been really good. It's been really good. I started shadowing with Prison Yoga Chicago organization.
Oh, yes. Did you get any catcalls?
I did not. I have to tell you, it was the most, arguably one of the most fulfilling hours of my life.
So how does that work exactly? Do you... I assume that they unfortunately get picked up for a crime, transgression, and then they go to prison, and then they get to do yoga?
Something like that. I'm sure there's a few more moving parts. The population that we're working with, it's all pretrial population, so they haven't been convicted of anything yet.
Oh.
So they're detainees. Some of them are in the middle of trial. Some of them are awaiting trial. Innocent until proven guilty, although they are locked up. You know, I'm still trying to kind of figure out the logistics of it. Like, to me, that's the most overwhelming part is, I mean, just who gets the attendance sheet? Like, there's a bazillion different people in this kind of machine of Cook County Jail. And so that honestly has been the most overwhelming part to me. But the class itself and the men that who were in the class when I shadowed last weekend were just tremendously kind and respectful and really invested in their yoga practice, which I thought was amazing. And this is why I want to do this. You know, there are so many people who benefit from yoga, and I'm not going to get on my high horse about yoga, but it's just not accessible to people who are under-resourced. And, you know, most people in jail tend to be under-resourced and don't have the means and don't realize that it's something that can really be mentally and physically beneficial. So there were a couple guys in there who actually had a regular yoga practice. They came to the classes regularly. There were a couple of new guys who came and worked hard and at the end of class wanted, you know, to make sure that they were put on the roster for next week so that they could return. And, I mean, it was everything that I hoped it would be. It really was. And there was no sense of any danger or, like, impending doom or any sort of disrespect. It was all, the guys that were there because they wanted to be there.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was a really awesome experience. So I'm really excited to be part of this. And, you know, so that was kind of my big news of the week. I'm sort of gearing up or winding down, rather, my yoga teacher training. We're teaching community classes for the next 3 Sundays. And then once we're done with that, then we're eligible to actually apply for a position as a yoga instructor where we took our training. And so it's all kind of winding down.
All right.
The last few months, so it's very exciting.
Yeah, well, it's good that there were no catcalls or anything, because if these gentlemen were in France, and also I guess maybe the ladies, they could have been fined for $135 U.S. dollars.
Do tell.
Yeah, they're making it so that if a gentleman or a man, I guess he's not a gentleman if he does this.
He's
but
not a gentleman.
If he's whistling at women or making loud comments, ask about their appearance or their phone numbers, according to a proposal that they're making to combat sexual contempt, they could be fined about $435 U.S. or 350 euros. So that's interesting.
What are your thoughts on that personally?
I think it's overkill.
Do you?
Yes. What do you think?
It'll be interesting to see. You know, I think that there's, and this may be an unpopular opinion, but I do think that there's a spectrum of behavior. And I think that there are some circumstances that are worse than others. And, you know, being a woman myself, I have experienced a spectrum of behavior, and there are behaviors where I would be like, you know, that's, it's benign enough. It was playful. It was flirtatious. It wasn't, didn't cross over into disrespectful. Whereas other circumstances were tremendously obnoxious and inappropriate. So I think slapping a fine on it, I don't know how I feel about it. You know, I think there may be circumstances where that is appropriate. You know, how do they...
How do they enforce that?
That's what I was looking for. How do they enforce it? Does a woman or maybe a man who's being harassed make the complaint? And then do they have to go to a hearing? And I don't know. We'll see. That being said...
Yes?
Let's get into the show.
Oh, okay.
I don't think there's really a segue between
that's right, folks. We are here, and this is The Beacon. And for those of you, you know, folks, if you're tuning in for the first time, The Beacon, the purpose of this program, which is brought to you by the Chicago Lighthouse, is to illuminate issues and trends concerning individuals who are visually impaired. Also, we cover issues of about seniors and veterans and the disabled. So that's exactly what we're doing today's show. Maureen Reed, who is the Job Placement Counselor of Employment Services for the Chicago Lighthouse. I don't know if you're aware of this lady, but the Lighthouse does have a scholarship program, and it awards scholarships to college and graduate students who are blind, visually impaired, disabled, and or veterans from Illinois attending any school of higher education, or students from other states attending school in Illinois. And so she's going to tell us all about that.
That's fantastic. I didn't know that they had a scholarship program. I don't know if I realized what specifically it was for, but that's helpful. That'll be nice to hear about. I think that will be of interest to many people, certainly. And then we will, of course, talk to our friends Sandy and Brett.
They'll be talking or bringing us what they highly recommend. Their segment's called It's Highly Recommended Now, and they will be doing a review on something that they have witnessed recently. So we can...
New segment on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yes.
And then after that, we'll... What did I just sound like? Cool. Come on.
What's wrong with that?
Be authentic. I don't know. It was just like, I got my DJ voice on. It was cool. I'll be here with the Awe Factor. Talking about a sweet story about a veteran who's doing good in his community.
And then Juan Suarez and Luke Scriven are in the laboratory cooking up something. I don't know what.
We will find out.
We will. And so we're going to step aside and we'll come back with Maureen Reed. This is The Beacon. I'm Brian Hawkins.
I'm Lainey Kleeman.
And you're listening to WCPT 820 AM.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I liked things to always be the same. Anything new or different would scare and upset me. I was very sensitive to lights and sounds. It was almost like I had bigger eyes and ears than everyone else. So I built secret hiding places where nothing could get in. I didn't like looking people in the eye. It made me feel uncomfortable. I'd throw big tantrums over little things, like when my socks didn't match. Sometimes I'd do the same things over and over, until one day I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everybody. This is The Lighthouse Beacon. I am Brett Shishkoff, and I have one of my favorite people here at The Lighthouse back in the studio with me, Maureen Reed. How are you doing today?
I'm so lovely. How are you?
I'm doing well. And we have you here to talk about a scholarship that The Lighthouse has to offer. Can you just kind of go into a little bit more detail on what exactly the scholarship is, maybe how it came to be, that type of information for our listeners?
Mm-hmm. So it was a program that started back in 2004, and we've given away over 600 scholarships since the beginning of that program, and significant amounts of money.
Mm-hmm.
And so those generally run from July 1st through June 30th of the next academic year. So it's kind of on a typical academic calendar year.
Right.
So we just launched our online application.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, it's been like a Word document that you could download and fill out and email back to us. But this time, it is officially like web-based edit fields and checkboxes online application. And then the finale, of course, is uploading essays and an iReport. But the program has been around for a while, and we encourage individuals that are blind and visually impaired who are going to attend school either in Illinois or out of state, or if it's an out-of-state resident, we'll accept a scholarship application from them, assuming they will be attending school in the state of Illinois. And we've narrowed the scope of that program just a little bit to accommodate that, because it's important for us to have a relationship with our scholarship recipients.
Mm-hmm.
We do that because, you know, we're a full-service social service agency, and so you know, the other hat that I wear here at the Lighthouse is as a job placement counselor. And so because I work in both capacities, one of the things that I'm able to do is kind of help some of our scholarship recipients with maybe some career goals or advice or feedback or even internships in the middle of their educational programs.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I want to really make sure that they get that full education and academic experience, but also in the middle of it, get some work experience so that when you graduate, you're employable and really strongly marketable that way. So, so we award scholarships for anywhere from certifications, associate's degrees, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees. And that's another thing that is, I think, slightly unique about us, is that even if you're doing a certification, as long as it's accredited and they're able to receive financial aid through the Department of Education, you mm-hmm. know, that means it's, you know, basically accredited, then, you know, we would be able to apply your scholarship funds towards supporting that educational goal.
One of the questions I'm sure people are wondering is, okay, where do I go? How do I get this, get the form and start filling out? Where's this process start?
Okay. Well, so if you go to our homepage at chicagolighthouse.org, I have to tell you, as a JAWS user, one of the things that I would say is I found that our website works best using Google Chrome, or at least mm-hmm. for me, that's the one I use. And so when I go to our homepage on that browser, I can just go into the edit field, the search edit field, and type in scholarship, and then that's how I go to the scholarship program homepage.
Mm-hmm.
But however you want to do that, if you get to the scholarship program homepage, initially it will tell you a little bit about our scholarship program. It'll give you a list of all the things that we need from you for that scholarship application.
Mm-hmm.
And then it does say that you'll want to do this in one sitting, so you can't save your application in the middle of starting it.
Mm-hmm.
So they want you to, you know, get everything together. I want you to, because that's the way it's set up and I'm the one that coordinates it.
Right.
But really, there's a series of checkboxes and edit fields and combo boxes on the first page. And then you'll go through and correctly identify, you know, all the things that are important within that page. And then you'll hit next. And mm-hmm. the second page is where you would upload your personal essay, your financial statement of need, and your iReport.
Okay.
We ask that we obtain an iReport from a doctor indicating within the last 6 months that they can verify or attest to your diagnosis and visual acuity or field of vision, whatever makes you eligible for the scholarship. We have an iReport form that, again, is on that first page that you can download, and it's a fillable PDF.
Okay.
And the edit fields in the fillable PDF are actually labeled, because I've looked at it, again, as a JAWS user. I want to make sure that this is – I'm so excited about this process.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, in the past we had a Word document and, you know, some things were mailed to me and some were emailed to me. And sometimes there's a little bit lost in that and, you know, formatting, whatever. So this version, your application gets emailed to me with three attachments. It comes into my inbox.
Mm-hmm.
None of them are going to go into my spam or junk folder. I will always make sure that I respond to the student and confirm for them that I received their application.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the application itself. And at the end of that, I've mentioned already the two essays that we ask you to write and the iReport. That means that you're eligible as an individual that is blind or visually impaired.
Mm-hmm.
So then the other thing that I'm going to need as part of your application are your most recent available official transcripts.
Okay.
So if you're currently in school and you're requesting your official transcripts, oh, heavens, please don't ask them to hold them for your spring grades, because that means you'll miss the deadline, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then, which I'll mention in a second.
Sure.
So we need a copy of your most recent official transcripts, two letters of recommendation. So the kind of thing that we're looking for, like let's say you're still in high school.
Mm-hmm.
If you're involved in any extracurricular activities, somebody that could attest to that and talk about you in that capacity, that would be a fantastic person to ask to do a letter of recommendation. Counselors or teachers in school have received letters of recommendation from people's parents and spouses
mm-hmm.
who don't recommend it, but you know, we'll accept it because we need two of them.
Right.
But yeah, so and those can be emailed directly to me, and my email address is in the scholarship program page.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Maureen, Maureen dot Reed is Reid at chicagolighthouse.org. So we have the two letters of recommendation, the official transcripts, the two essays, the iReport form, and the application itself.
Okay.
And so I believe that is all that we ask for. Our deadline is March 30th by 5 p.m.
Okay.
I'd like to have all of those things by then. And again, I always write confirmation email responses to students. And if someone's writing me a letter of recommendation on behalf of this student,
mm-hmm.
I'll always write back and confirm to that individual that I received that letter of recommendation from them.
Excellent. Well, Maureen, I want to thank you very much for coming in today. I am Brett Shishkoff, and we will be right back.
The Lighthouse Endowment Campaign is an ongoing campaign to help secure the future of the Chicago Lighthouse for the 67,000-plus patients, clients, and families that utilize our services each year.
Yeah, I have an undergrad from DePaul Computer Information Systems and a master's in business information technology. And I know I have a disability, and it can be challenging trying to get a position. You know, they want to hire someone with a disability. So that was one of the challenges I had also. Going to a job interview and people look at your strength because you have a disability. I've gotten frowned at. They'll say, we'll call you or we'll consider, but it never happened. The Lighthouse has provided me with employment. I've been here since 2013, November. I've grown. Transition from Illinois Tollway to UI Health. The Lighthouse is awesome. They really work with people with disability, visually impaired, and veterans, get employment, you know, find employment, because the percentage of people with disability is unemployed is extremely high. People that have degrees and they still can't find a job. So the Lighthouse is very supportive and helping them find employment. One word, I say awesome.
Historically, our endowment fund has helped maintain critical programs on the verge of shutting down, preserve jobs in times of economic stress, and meet the growing demand for vision care services among America's aging population. To make a contribution, please contact Jennifer Miller, 312-997-9000. 3643.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to The Beacon. I'm Brian Hawkins.
I'm Lainey Kleeman here with you.
Yeah, and today, a lovely weather day that we're having. And The Beacon is a program that airs every week here on WCPT, and we have lots of segments and interviews. But if you have any comments that you'd like to make, you can do that. Just call us here at the Chicago Lighthouse, and the number is area code 312-997-3687. And if you have any comments, suggestions, or anything else, we'd love to hear from you.
Sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Now, you, being a yoga instructor, mm-hmm. I know, are not a meat eater, are you?
I'm not a meat eater?
No, you're not a meat eater. I'm sorry. Maybe I wasn't clear. Meat eater.
Meat eater. I'm not a meat eater. I'm not a meat eater either. No, I don't eat meat. It's not because I'm a yoga instructor. There are plenty of yoga instructors that do eat meat.
Yes.
I just make a personal choice to not eat meat.
Well, you'll be happy that you don't.
I'm sure I will.
You will be because...
Tell. You tell.
There are some folks, environmentalists, who are targeting your meat, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. Your hamburgers, your buffalo wings, your whatever type of preferred meat that you like. And they're talking about imposing a meat tax.
Well, they've imposed a soda tax.
Yeah, fortunately we were able to get rid of that here locally in Chicago. But then, of course, there's also a tax on cigarettes and alcohol and gambling and everything else. So they're thinking about taxing beef, pork, and chicken. That could be the next big thing in state and local tax environment. So because of all of the costs involved in, you know, to the environment and other things and raising these animals for slaughter, there's a mounting social cost of meat production and consumption.
Oh, absolutely. It's destroying our environment as well.
Uh-oh. Sounds like someone's seen a documentary.
I have seen several, my friend. Thank you very much. I have done my research.
Okay.
I don't think a meat tax will fly. If they couldn't get a soda tax to stick, I don't think they'll get a meat tax to stick. It's a nice thought, but I don't know. I don't really see it going very far.
Well, you know, they did, after the soda tax here in the Chicago area was repealed, they did pass it in Seattle.
Well, I think the West Coast, especially the Pacific Northwest, they're a little crunchier than we are out here. Meaning, you know.
A little crunchier.
A little crunchier. That's the term for being a hippie, which I embrace because I am a Northern California hippie. I get it.
Well, it's also big in food preparation. Chefs always like a little crunch.
Well, right. But that's like a texture thing. That's a crunchy in that in like the Pacific Northwest when referring to, you know, meat taxes passing. I think that there's a lot more of environmental awareness. Can I say that without offending our fellow Chicagoans? There's more of an emphasis put on keeping nature healthy.
Yeah.
You know.
So, we'll see. PETA is somehow involved.
Sure.
We'll have to keep our eye on that and see if we wind up...
with the meat tax.
With the meat tax.
Won't affect me.
Yes. Now, I don't know. Actually, I do know. I know that Brett and Sandy both eat meat. I've seen them do it. So they might be sort of concerned about that. But they're coming up next with their new segment, It's Highly Recommended.
I am Brett Shishkoff.
And I am Sandy Morillo. Good morning, Brett. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Yeah?
To get into some recommendations, some things that I've actually been checking out. I actually have been watching some Netflix shows. I've gone back and watched some old Parks and Recreation episodes. It was an NBC show. There are some of the last couple seasons that are audio described. But it's just a great comedy. It's one of those shows that I could put on late night and be able to kind of laugh a few times and then fall asleep to. It's not going to stress me out like some thrillers or dramas. You need to be in a specific mood for that. So as of something that you want to go back to, something that you maybe haven't watched before, that's a good comedy. I would definitely recommend Parks and Rec. That's its shortened name, but Parks and Recreation is the way you could find it on Netflix. One of the shows that Netflix has produced that I actually am enjoying currently and have just finished its second season is actually The Crown. Mm-hmm. I know our president and CEO, Janet Slick, that's one of her favorite shows. And so I've watched the first season and I really enjoyed it. And then the second season, I've kind of enjoyed the look back at... It's like 50s and 60s is what they kind of are in now for the second season. And so you get to see, like, the evangelist Billy Graham. He's part of one of the episodes and has a couple conversations with Queen Elizabeth that were very interesting, because Queen Elizabeth, she feels very lonely and feels like she doesn't have an equal, and so Billy Graham kind of fills that equal role to her, that she can feel like she can kind of open up about certain ways that she's feeling that no one else really understands. The other aspect that was kind of cool was a couple episodes later they had JFK, and then they also had his wife, who was a part of the show, and the relationship that Queen Elizabeth and JFK's wife had was a little rocky.
Sure.
But it ended up getting a little smoothed out. And then you also did see the effect that John F. Kennedy's assassination did take in Britain. And she basically had them do, like, the bell ringing that they only normally do for someone of the crown that passes away. So it was really, really cool just to see this, like, historical background kind of being put into a show. Yeah, maybe some things are stretched a little bit further drama-wise.
As within a lot of shows,
right.
You know.
But it's a great historical drama. Mm-hmm. And I've enjoyed that aspect of the show. It's really engaging. And, you know, it is a drama, so you're not going to be laughing. But if you're looking for a nice drama to get you wrapped up in, taking you back to the past, and for me, it was before my time, a lot of the stuff that's going on in the show, so I don't remember it. But it's cool to see how another country handled certain situations differently than what the United States did throughout our history after World War II. Other than that, I do have a couple shows that I'm going to be going out to coming up this weekend. So next week, I will be having some audio description touch tours to talk about. But you have one that you would like to talk about that's coming up here for us at the Lighthouse, along with the American Theater Company, correct?
Yeah, so the Chicago Lighthouse and the American Theater Company, we have partnered to do an audio-described and touch-tour performance of We're Gonna Be Okay. And the play takes place during the 1960s with the Missile Crisis and JFK, who we were just briefly mentioning.
Mm-hmm.
That is on February 10th at the American Theater Company. The touch tour begins at 12:30 p.m. and the performance begins at 2 p.m. The tickets are actually $35, Brett. And, you know, it's not just the performance, but we also have a reception afterwards that starts right after the play ends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you get to see the performance and to get to feel and, you know, the different costumes, props, and hear from members of the cast themselves.
Oh, very cool.
But you also, you know, get the reception with hors d'oeuvres and drinks and, you know, all for $35,
mm-hmm.
Brett. You know,
that's not too bad. It's a pretty decent price for all of that.
Not at all. And, you know, it's a great way to spend the weekend with your, you know, Saturday with your family and friends. And, you know, all proceeds will benefit the Chicago Lighthouse.
It's also my birthday weekend. My birthday's February 9th.
Really?
So there's a lot going on that weekend. You got the start of the Winter Olympics. They have the opening ceremony actually going to be televised on my birthday. So I'm telling everybody that the world's celebrating my birthday.
That's it. Yeah,
because my sister likes to say that 4th of July is actually when they give fireworks, is the introduction to her birthday because it's on the 5th. So now I'm deeming the opening ceremony of the Winter Olympics this year as the entire world celebrating my birthday for the day, even though they kind of do it on the 8th. But I'm milking it because it's being televised on the 9th. So we have that to look forward to, my birthday, Winter Olympics, and then also American Theater Company is putting on an awesome show that actually talks about some, like, United States relations with Russia, some Cold War type stuff that's going on. So it should be really cool. I might actually end up coming out and checking that one out.
Yeah, I myself will be there.
Okay.
I just purchased my ticket.
Excellent.
And for anyone that would like to purchase tickets, you can go to our website at www.chicagolighthouse.org. Or you can also reach out to our good friend, Lindsay Ingalls, from our special events department. Her number is 312-447-3448.
All right. I think that's it for us today. Did you have anything else that you wanted to get off your chest before we head on out?
You know, Brad, I just want to give a short preview of our Sandy's View blog. Mm-hmm. As we know, we have been having a little bit of everything here, you know, with this winter season.
Yes.
We've had below zero temperatures. We have some snow, some rain. So a mix of everything. And, you know, something that is very important to consider is for dog guide users.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of the techniques or tips that can help both them and their dog while traveling outside in wintry conditions. This week we will be featuring a guest post. I know you gave us some wonderful tips in the post, as well as Maureen Reed and Adnana Sarek from both of them from our employment services team. And who are also guide dog users.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the three of you had very interesting tips to share with fellow guide dog users for the winter. So you can also read that on our Chicago Lighthouse website, chicagolighthouse.org. And under the What's New heading, you'll find the Sandy's View blog.
Excellent. Well, this has been the Lighthouse Beacon with Brett Shishkoff and Sandy Murillo. And we will be right back with more Lighthouse Beacon.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes. And you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to. Nope. I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work. I get it. You're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, three more fingers for everyone over 60. 2 over 50, 1 over 40, 1 more if you're not physically active, another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes, another if you've got high blood pressure, if you're overweight, raise another finger, 2 if you're very overweight, and 3 if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up 5 or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
If you are a veteran looking for a job, or if you know an unemployed veteran, Paralyzed Veterans of America's Employment Office, Operation PAVE at the Hines VA in Chicago can help. Our services are free. To learn more, visit operationpave.org, a public service of Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Is that right?
Right song, wrong key.
I do that a lot, actually.
Well, maybe you're trying something different. It's always good to make something your own.
That's right. Thank you very much. I'm paving my own way. I'll be a star one day. Just you wait.
You already are.
Oh, look at you. Look at you. Stop, stop. Hey, have you heard of Sweets for Sight?
Sweets for Sight.
I think you have, because you've been talking about it for the last several weeks. We are lighting up little lives with our Sweets for Sight fundraiser presented by the Chicago Lighthouse Junior Board coming up this Thursday, February 1st. So it's right around the corner from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. at Carnival in the West Loop here in Chicago. Sweets for Sight will feature drinks, hors d'oeuvres, entertainment, and, of course, plenty of sweets, my personal favorite. Highlights will include a raffle, a silent auction, and a wine grab. I still don't know what a wine grab is.
Well, obviously, it involves wine, so what more do you need?
I mean, that's really the important part, right?
Right.
Wine, and you get to grab it, probably. hence the wine grab. So,
which
I mean, it's a win-win.
Facilitates drinking it.
Right. All around. It sounds good all around. Proceeds from the evening will directly benefit Lighthouse programs for children who are blind or visually impaired. And the Chicago Lighthouse has a comprehensive set of programs for children, including the Children's Development Center, Preschool for All, Birth to Three Early Intervention Program, and the Youth Transition Program. Do we have contact information, or is it now at the door purchase only?
No. We do have contact information. Actually, if you purchase a ticket in advance, it's only $55. A little more expensive at the door, $65. And in advance, if you want tickets for a group of 10, it's $500. And the person to contact is Lindsay Inglis, who is the manager of special events. And her number, get a pen, write this down. I see you are.
I am.
312-447-3448. That's 312-447-3448. Or you can email her at Lindsay, Lindsay, dot Inglis, Inglis, at ChicagoLighthouse.org. And I don't know, but it's possible that if you'd like to sponsor it as a corporation, there are corporate sponsorships that are available. And you can also, if you want to speed the process up even more, you can go online at the ChicagoLighthouse.org website and look under events, and you'll see all the information there. And there is a form that you can fill out for the corporate sponsorships and all those things. So it should be an interesting, lively. Now, you've been to Carnival. You said it's wonderful.
It's fun. It's really fun. It's very raucous.
It's 702 West Fulton Street in Chicago.
Yep. It's a lot of, yeah, it's a party there for sure. Like, if you're going, you're going to have a good time.
All right. And that's February 1st, 6 to 9 p.m. So, folks, make the effort. Be there or be square.
Nice.
Yes. Oh, excuse me. Too much Monster soda. I usually don't drink Monster energy drink.
I've never, literally in 9 years, I've never seen you with a Monster energy drink.
Yes.
Today's the day, though.
Maybe 9 years more before you see it again. But no, I like the taurine in it. It's kind of tasty, but
they're not bad tasting. They're just awful for you.
I'm just sipping on it. Yeah, that's why.
Yeah.
It's too much caffeine and sugar.
Totally. Just nurse it throughout the course of the day.
But now.
Yes.
The highlight of our show, I think,
oh,
I would say. And it's time for another selection, a great story from Lainey Kleeman.
Thank you, Bri. We are talking about a disabled veteran who converted his wheelchair into a snowplow to help his whole town. A one-legged Iraq war veteran has taken it upon himself to clear sidewalks in his snowy Nebraska community, and he does it with his wheelchair. First of all, side note, the license plate he has on his wheelchair, he's a one-legged veteran, his license plate is Hopalong. So if that gives you any indication of the type of guy, you know, this man is, he seems just like a lovely human being. But this is not your typical wheelchair. The motorized monster, as they call it, has tank treads instead of wheels. So it's just like this massive machine of a wheelchair. It was actually supposed to be for an off-road adventure for him, but he decided last year to turn it into a machine of goodwill. He added a snowblade that he can adjust to different levels, and he says it only takes a couple hours after a typical Omaha snowfall to blaze a trail along the sidewalks to the local elementary school. So he's out there in his wheelchair clearing sidewalks, which I have to say is more than the able-bodied residents around my son's school do, because we are walking on thick ice every day to get my son to school. So this guy takes it upon himself to clear those sidewalks so the kids are safe. He doesn't take any praise or credit for it. He just says it's, you know, it's very easy. He calls it very gratifying because it gives him a chance to pay it forward to a community. When he came home from the Iraqi war as a wounded veteran, they were very supportive of him and helped him sort of get back into the swing of things, get back into real life. So we're going to have to post this picture on our Facebook page because this wheelchair is impressive. I mean, imagine like tractor treads on a wheelchair.
I'm trying to, yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool. So anyway, our friend Hopalong, which I just love. I love people who have a sense of humor about themselves, you know, whatever it might be. Like, this guy's probably been through some very traumatic experiences, but kind of came out of it with just this great sense of humor, and he's paying it forward to help his community and, you know, more importantly, keeping the kids safe on their ways to and from school.
Ah, that's really nice.
Yeah, so that is this week's The Awe Factor.
The Awe Factor, yes. And I feel uplifted and even better than I was before.
Good.
That's
the point. Better than the monster drink.
Yes.
Well, that's something.
Didn't need the monster energy.
You have the awe factor.
Okay. Now, moving right along, these next guys coming up have lots of information on everything technology. It is Luke Scriven and Juan Suarez in Luke's laboratory.
I'm Juan Suarez, and I do hold the keys to Mr. Luke's laboratory. And this is where we, the part of the show that we do everything technology. So let's open up the door and welcome our digital dude. Luke, what's up?
I'm doing great. I've never been called a digital dude before. That was a first for me.
How are you?
You know, the weather's good. I'm feeling good. The sun's out. Yeah, it's all good.
It's supposed to be a good weekend. So what are we doing this weekend? What are we talking about this Saturday?
We want to talk about beacons on the beacon. Beacons on the beacon. So beacons, these are things which can basically help you navigate indoor spaces. So imagine this. You go into a shopping mall and you want to find your way around. But as a person with a visual impairment, it's kind of hard to see the signs, and you don't necessarily how to find that favorite shop of yours. So, beacons can help out with this. And what they are, they're basically small boxes which can be connected around a facility. You can stick them on the ceiling and things like that. And they connect, they send a Bluetooth signal to your smartphone. And if you have an app which can talk to the beacons, then the beacons can push information to your phone, including navigational information. And so for those of you who are familiar with like a GPS that you might use in your car when you're driving, or a GPS when you're walking around, this is the same idea, but it's for indoor spaces. And so now you can get navigation outside and you can get navigation inside as well.
So to understand you correctly, so these beacons, they help you even like say in shopping, like in stores where you're looking, trying to find, identify maybe an item on a shelf?
They can do that. The focus at the moment has mainly been toward more general overview navigation stuff. So how do I get to such and such a store? Okay, this is what you do. You got to go straight ahead. You got to take a right. You got to take a left, whatever it is. And as you're walking, it's going to be updating you in terms of what you need to do next, in terms of distance to your destination and things like that. The type of thing that you're talking about, however, is possible, and it's interesting that you bring that up, because I was contacted by the Shedd Aquarium, which is a great day out for those of you who haven't been there. I highly recommend it. And what they were interested in is using beacons to let people with a visual impairment inform them about their exhibits. And in this kind of setup, the beacons would be pushing more information to the user's phone. And so, for example, let's say that I'm at a starfish tank. Everybody loves starfish. And there's a, you know, there's an informational board on the wall that tells us about the starfish, but a person with a visual impairment may not be able to read it. What we can do there is stick a beacon next to the exhibit, and then a person with their smartphone will receive that information sent by the beacon to their smartphone, and it will be read aloud to them. And so that's the other way that we can use beacons. Another example would be we have some on the vending machines here. And so if you're not able to see the contents of the vending machines, the contents can be pushed by the beacon to your phone and you can hear what the contents are.
Oh, that's that's awesome. See, so that's what I was getting along along those lines. That's what I was saying. Maybe eventually, hopefully, we'll be able to walk into a store and those beacons will be readily available, hopefully universally, where we can now know what's in on a product on a shelf. But with the advent of Amazon, maybe.
Well, yeah, this is true.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe they may not be needed, but I do like the concept that now this is helping you navigate not only outside but also indoors as well.
Yeah, it's an extremely good concept, and there's a lot of buzz about it in general because it it has a potential to be very useful to a lot of people. Now, the interesting thing about it at the moment is there are limits with the technology and there are limits with the infrastructure. And so in terms of infrastructure, this is all very new, so there's no real standards that have been set yet. A lot of businesses are interested in integrating it into their business, but haven't really figured out the best way to do it yet. And so it's all still very new, and there's not a lot of places at the moment where you can actually use it. The other difficulty has been in terms of the beacons. Companies who are trying to, create this navigational technology have been using beacons which are powered by batteries. However, the batteries have a tendency to run out, in my experience, fairly quickly, and so it becomes a bit of a logistical headache trying to, keep them all powered and things like that. Mm-hmm. With that in mind, there is a company who's been trialing a different way of doing things at the lighthouse. The company's called Boney, and their application is called Loudsteps. And the way that they're doing it, instead of having beacons, they're actually using Wi-Fi signal strength. Now, I'm not going to pretend that I exactly understand the intricacies of how this works, but the way I imagine it is kind of like a triangulation kind of method. If you have a bunch of Wi-Fi signals in a building, like we do at the lighthouse here, then your phone is actually able to tell where it is in the building by the relative strength of those Wi-Fi signals and basically triangulate your position. Really interesting. The great thing about that, of course, is that it doesn't rely on beacons, although there may be some beacons used in areas with, dead zones for Wi-Fi and things right. like that. However, in general, it doesn't require those beacons. So in terms of logistics and infrastructure, it's a lot easier for companies to manage.
So these beacons, are they readily available now for different companies to try out or to use, or where are they in terms of cost and readiness?
So we have on the one hand, we have the businesses who want to use it to help people navigate around their facility. On the other hand, we have the companies who are developing the navigational apps and the navigational infrastructure. So those are the two sides of the coin at the moment. At the moment, there's a lot of competing companies who are trying to get in the door with the best solution, but there isn't, as I was saying, any standards. So at the moment, it's not very widespread. Until everything gets figured out in terms of the logistics, I don't think it's going to be very widespread, but I expect that to happen before not too long. So it's more one of those things that you want to keep your eyes on. Now, if you are interested in seeing how it works, then you can always come to the lighthouse. We have two separate navigational systems set up here that we have been trialing. One, as I said before, is called Loudsteps, and the other is called Aware, and that's by a company called Sensible Innovations, and they're both great navigational systems. So you can come to the lighthouse, you can download those apps for free, and you can try it out and see what it's like.
Oh, that's pretty awesome. As always, the lighthouse ahead of its time.
And there you go.
And tell them where they can find you and get a hold of you during the week.
So you can call me, 312-997-3649. You can email luke.scriven@chicagolighthouse.org. You can see our technology products online at lighthousetoolsforliving.com. And I just want to re-emphasize again that we do in-home demonstrations. So although the weather's quite nice at the moment, but if it turns again, which I'm sure it will, and you don't want to face the outdoors, but you want to see some technology products, we can come to your home and show you them in the comfort of your own home. And you can contact me to organize that.
All right. And with that, it's this week's
Customer of the Week. And this week's Customer of the Week is a lady called Tanji Griggs. She was the first lady I ever met called Tanji, so that was something exciting. And she had recently lost her vision. She had a condition whereby she had been losing her vision for a while, but it was remaining fairly stable. But unfortunately, in the last few months, it had kind of gone downhill fairly rapidly. The reason that I chose her this week is because she was very proactive in terms of finding out what solutions were available for her. And so in the particular session that I had with her this week, we discussed all of the different routes that she could go down in order to make adaptations, including visiting our low vision clinic, to get an initial assessment, and then being referred to occupational therapy. So an occupational therapist could go to her home, have a look at the way things were set up, suggest modifications to help her do things better, for example, using her oven and thermostat and microwave and things like that. Orientation and mobility to help her navigate her environment when she was outside. But in the particular session that I was in with her, we went over the different assistive technologies, and she was asked a lot of questions. She was very engaged. We took a look at all of the different wearable devices, and in general, she seemed like she had a very good attitude, and you know, I think she's going to do well. So, yeah, she's my customer of the week.
All right, that's great. So that does it for this edition of Mr. Luke's Laboratory. I'm Juan Suarez. And once you join us again next Saturday, right here on WCPT, 820 AM.
The Lighthouse Endowment Campaign is an ongoing campaign to help secure the future of the Chicago Lighthouse for the 67,000-plus patients, clients, and families that utilize our services each year.
Being a veteran here, I think, has helped me. I could not see, because this is why I initially was brought here by a counselor from the VA, because like, they collaborate with each other and help us to get our vision better. When I first walked in here, I didn't know the life of a blind person. I actually didn't know. And when I came here, I walked through the door and I could see how people were so, you know, they act like they could see. And it was so inspirational to me. I cried like a kid when I first got it, because I was overwhelmed to see how people can deal with blindness, you know. And the Lighthouse really, really has helped me with a lot of things, because I've learned to be more knowledgeable about computers. And they have an exercise class and they teach us how to exercise. So every fourth Friday of the month, we have a luncheon where all the seniors meet. We sit there and talk about different events and different things. And my greatest passion right now is being on the radio, reading to the blind. That's my greatest passion. I really love that. Number one is to be able to give back to people that can't see, because I went, I was overwhelmed. And I promise God within myself that I will do this until I cannot see again. This is my greatest passion in my life.
Historically, our endowment fund has helped maintain critical programs on the verge of shutting down, preserve jobs in times of economic stress, and meet the growing demand for vision care services among America's aging population. To make a contribution, please contact Jennifer Miller, 312-997-3643.
Well, that is going to do it for us. Did you watch the playoff games last weekend?
Are you kidding?
I would say that's a yes.
Championship weekend, I would not miss for all the money in the world. Maybe all the money in the world. I wouldn't miss, but I didn't. No, I saw it.
How did Jacksonville lose that game? In the, how does New England do that? Where they will be behind. They either slaughter their competition or they're behind until the last minute and then they end up winning the game. How do they do that every time?
Well, Jacksonville stopped being aggressive. Before halftime, I think there were 55 seconds left. And instead of trying to score maybe at least a field goal, they decided to take a knee. New England, they look at the situation, make adjustments at halftime. The other team, even when they're ahead, in the case of Jacksonville, didn't necessarily do that. And
they lost it. They blew it.
Mm-hmm.
I am not a New England fan.
I know you are.
I think
no,
I made that,
that
clear. But, I mean, I don't know. Even if you're a New England fan, at some point, don't you go, wow, this is kind of boring. Like, it's the 90th time they've been in the Super Bowl in a row. It just seems a little redundant. Like, doesn't it lose its thrill after the third straight Super Bowl?
No.
It doesn't.
And I'll tell you why. What's occurring now with the Patriots, I know that I'll probably never see again in my lifetime. And if it ever happens again, period, where you have a team, specifically two guys, really, Belichick and Tom Brady, who have had such a run in the Super Bowl. And they've done it with different players, skill players. And this is really remarkable. And I can't think of another team in any other sport where they've had this kind of success. And the only thing, actually, I'll take that back. I can think of the Boston Celtics with the Bill Russell era Boston Celtics. They won many championships. But this is really rare, and it may never happen again.
All right. I mean, I can understand.
I mean, I can understand.
Yeah. I can understand where you're coming from.
The Patriots beat your Raiders, and I know. And I
17 years
that.
Ago, and I'm still holding a grudge.
I understand that part of it, and I respect that. But
I just, it just, yeah, I don't know. I just want to see, I like the underdogs. I want to see the underdogs, like, win, and I just shut New England down.
Well, you know that, is it Google who has Alexa?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
Alexa has predicted the Eagles will win.
Okay.
And if that happens, there'll be a lot of people buying Alexa.
Yeah.
Trying to play, okay.
What are the lottery numbers for tomorrow?
Exactly.
Right.
But so we'll have to see. I don't know. I don't think it's a lock that they're going to win the Super Bowl, but, you know.
Well, I
it'll be a good game at least.
Yeah. Well, I would have liked to have seen Minnesota in the game, but that's really just because I would have liked to have seen, and we talked about this last week, I would have liked to have seen the Vikings play in Minneapolis. That would have been cool. But alas, it was not meant to be. So we'll see you next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Super Bowl. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us. We're going to wrap up. I want to say a big thank you to Brett and Sandy for their new feature. That's a really, I think that's a very cool new contribution to the show.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you to you.
Thank you.
My pleasure. It's always a pleasure being here with you and all the work that you do. Many thanks to Luke and Juan for their contributions to Luke's laboratory. And, of course, Dr. Janet Slick, the president and CEO of the Chicago Lighthouse, whom without her we would not be here. And we are coming up on 9 years? 10 years? 9 years? We're going to have to start this discussion because it's coming up. So a long time. It's been a long time that we've been here, and we wouldn't be here without Dr. Slick's support. So many thanks to everybody who's contributed and been involved. We are very much appreciative of all of you, as well as our listeners. We couldn't do it without you.
Yeah, thanks, everyone.
Yeah, thank you. So have a wonderful week. Be safe, stay warm, and we will see you next week.